life is what we all want. And Jesus himself said in John 10:10 that he came to give life and to give the abundant life. And we strive to obtain life. We crave it. We desire it. Whatever we think it might be. And once we see it, we're quick to put it in the light. Whether or not it's real life or just a facade doesn't matter. We take pictures of it. We post it. We brag about it. We hashtag it. We want everybody to know we have it. And in that, we hope that the world might be impressed. We tend to think that the world is always interested in watching us live and seeing our life. But in truth, they just might be more concerned with watching us die. On that hopeful note, episode 8 starts now.
Engaging, encouraging, and enlightening.
Death was very much a spectacle in the first century, especially under Roman rule. The Apostle Paul's martyrdom was almost undoubtedly a spectacle, as he was someone of importance. And before he encountered the resurrected Jesus and was himself transformed, he was responsible for the public stoning of Stephen, who was the church deacon in the early church of Jerusalem. To be sure, death and dying were just as much a part of the early church's life as was almost everything else. In some form, it was part of everyday life. So the Apostle Paul once wrote that, quote, "If we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." When Paul says life, it's not just being alive, but it's all the things that come with life. It means blessings, riches, and health. And when he speaks about death, it means more than just the physical passing of the body, but it means sickness, hunger, poverty, job loss, insecurity, fears, and everything else that we consider opposite of life. And it's in this wide spectrum that Paul assures us that no matter what, we belong to the Lord. I recently heard a story about an elder in a remote tribe that had converted to the Christian faith years before. Knowing he was nearing death at 103 years old, the elder gathered the young people around him to recount the story of how their tribe came to know and believe the gospel years before. As to be expected, the tribe was taken off guard by the missionaries' claim. They thought it was weird and unsubstantiated. And so with normal reason, the tribe was quite skeptical. So to test whether the missionary's claim of hope and faith in the person of Jesus was true, the tribe secretly started to poison some of the Christians with various toxins placed into their food and into their drink. And one by one, mysteriously, some of the missionaries and even some of their children began to die slow deaths. The tribe's aim was to watch them die. For the tribe to witness firsthand how these people with a divine message navigated sickness and death was to authenticate the validity of the missionary's faith and subsequently the substance of it. After 12 years of poisoning, the tribe slowly came to see and believe that the faith and hope of the evangelist was indeed real. And it was in the tribe's contemplative gaze at what death brought, sickness, sadness, confusion, depression, all these things, it was in that gaze that they actually saw glimpses of eternal life. While it is undoubtedly mysterious, it shouldn't be surprising that both life and death are always working in tandem. If the seed doesn't first die in the ground, it will not produce life. It is much easier on the mind to simply forget that death and dying are just as much a part of the Christian message as life and living. One simply cannot be had without the other. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion. And it's mistakenly commonplace to relegate this axiom to the spiritual realm and to that of the future kingdom. But by contrast, it's hard to rightly accept this truth in the here and the now of everyday life, in the fragility of our bodies and our minds. It wasn't just sometimes that Paul said, quote, "we carry around in our body the death of Jesus," unquote. He said it was always. Of course, this was in order that the life of Jesus would likewise always be revealed in their bodies. Paul again mentions his very personal struggle between life and death when he said, quote, "therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." How sad must it be for some to be wasting away outwardly as well as inwardly? But the promise of being renewed day by day is found in Christ alone. That is one sign of the abundant life that he promised to give. Like the Apostle Paul, the poison missionaries were called to martyrdom. And while physically dying for the sake of the gospel is a summon not given to all Christians, the calling to die to oneself or to one's inner desires, this is biblically defined as the flesh, undoubtedly is. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer intimately knew both forms, said, "when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." And although I have often considered my hypothetical response when challenged physically to die for Jesus' cause as a resounding yes, the reality of my response when challenged every day to deny my flesh is something much less, a stubborn no at worst and a reluctant yes at best. In some degree, by nature, we are all dying. No matter our age or health, we are all growing older, and whether early, late, natural or unnatural, nearing a certain death. The Christian, even more so, is they should be dying on two fronts. And in this lies great testimony to Jesus' promise that all who believe in him, even though they may die, will have eternal life. May God's life be magnified in us as it was in the Apostle Paul when he courageously claimed that Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This past Easter, I wrote that the resurrection of Jesus is an invitation to us. And indeed it is. But no one wants to hear that the crucifixion is an invitation as well. Not only is death an invitation, but it's the painful mandate that we all must face in order to be joyfully resurrected to the newness of life. And I don't want to make this message purely spiritual or metaphorical. There are Christians today in a few countries who are physically being murdered for their allegiance to Christ. And there are many, many more and many more countries who are forced to live underground and suffer persecution with no work, no help, shunned by their family, shunned by society. They're forced to smuggle Bibles in. They're forced to meet in secret. That's all real. There's 195 countries in the world today, and only about 70 of them are considered Western. That means a majority of the world's countries still today do not allow for Western ideals, namely freedom and the freedom of religion. And how Christians in these parts of the earth navigate this, let alone the ones who die for their faith, should help serve as an example to us in free states. In America, we obviously don't deal with that type of physical persecution. We haven't the slightest clue of what that must be like. But one thing that all Christians should experience together is the death of their flesh. That's the part of ourselves that is carnal. That part of us which Paul says wars against the Spirit of God. And when the world sees us die to that, when they see us die to sin, to selfishness, to dishonesty, to hatred, to bitterness or to greed and lust, all those things that actually bring about death, then they will see your life. They will see, more importantly, the life of Christ in you. And they will see selflessness, transparency, vulnerability, humility, kindness, service, and love. They will see life. So if we tend to think that the world is always watching us live, may we step back and just consider that they just might as well be watching us die. What might you die to today in hope that the life of Christ may be seen in you? Hey, thanks again for listening. I hope this challenges you, and I hope it encourages you, speaks to you. I'll be working on another episode similar to this, a bit more personal, though. The title will be Watching You Die, and it will be about how I watched my father die from cancer and the great example that he left so many by that. If you are enjoying this podcast, I'd love if you shared it or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen from. We have a new website that we're working on. It's salvationandstuff.com. Please check it out. That would be great. Thanks again, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.